I'm Edwina Farley, you're with the Country Breakfast on RN. We've heard so much about the floods in Tasmania, but can you really imagine what it might be like to wake up surrounded by water?
Noah's Ark needed to come through. It was covered with water. The majority of the farm was affected by the flood. Just a torrent of water flowing through what was supposed to be a dairy farm.
We've got some pretty amazing personal stories about what it was like to face the floodwaters and to go searching for your stock for days afterwards. Brett Worthington also wants to talk about Tasmania's floods because they've opened somewhat of a can of worms, Brett, in the election conversation, but not quite at national level yet.
That's right, Edwina. Damien Atkins is one of the farmers that was caught up in the floods. He's from Mole Creek in northwest Tassie. And he says that these floods have come after quite a really extended dry period. There were fires in his area back in summer. And he feels that really the debate needs to move across to climate change and what political parties are doing to put forward policies to deal with it. He's been baffled that given what Tassie has been going through in recent weeks, there just still is no debate of this policy.
We had the driest summer on record. We had bushfires, we had ember attacks here only in the summertime, and now we've had this, and you can't really just sit back and believe that there's been four 1 in 50, 1 in 60 year events and it's just a coincidence. So that's the frustration, and nothing seems, even in an election cycle now, still nothing even really gets talked about with climate change.
No, indeed it doesn't. It's deeply unpopular, just like boats and other divisive topics. So still looking at floods apart from climate change, what is the situation for livestock producers? Because it's mainly dairy farmers that have been affected.
That's right. A lot of authorities are closely monitoring the mental health of animals. So a lot have got through the floods and physically seem to be fine. But there are a few issues mentally with livestock. Ebony Bannister is one of the people that's been out trying to find the owners of displaced stock, and she concedes that while deaths are high, about 200 cattle have been returned to their owners. Her concern, though, is that the animals are physically fit, but emotionally it's a different matter.
Some of them are silly and some of them are actually turning out to be dangerous because of the stress levels they've been through. They probably haven't eaten or fed for days, so they're starting to get pretty down. But injury-wise, we haven't come across a beast that has needed veterinary care or anything bad, but mentally they're not coping very well.
Now, we've seen massive scale discounting on things like fresh milk and bread and roast chickens most recently. Now the supermarkets have got another product line in sight.
Yeah, lamb producers say they're starting to get quite nervous. It's because Woolies announced that it would be cutting the price of some of its lamb products by 30%. The company made that announcement that their leg roasts would go down to $10 a kilo, and unsurprisingly, Coles, the other supermarket giant, quickly responded at cutting prices as well. It's something that Jeff Murray, who's from the Sheep Meat Council of Australia, isn't too keen to be hearing.
Well, it seems a bit astounding to me at a time when we're running into the short period of the year for quantity of product, and of course it's a high price time of the year because it's between seasons almost, and the last thing we need to do is go back to the bad old days of lost leaders in the lamb industry.
Woolworths says they put out a statement saying that it's going to absorb the costs and they won't be flowing through to the farmers, but you've seen this in the dairy crisis of late. How consumers react is quite interesting. How they react in 6 months' time will be even more interesting.
Absolutely, and it's that thing of, you know, it's a short-term marketing fix, but that's not how it's translated in the case of milk, and I haven't seen roast chooks go back up in price yet either. So, yeah, potentially some difficult times ahead for lamb producers. Not so much the case for cattle producers.
We've been chatting a lot about how these beef prices that beef is selling for is quite high, and that's because there's been a huge culling of the national flock. Numbers are quite low at the moment, and that's why the commodity forecaster ABARES is tipping that NT cattle station income is likely to be triple the 10-year average. They're putting it down to a rebound in live cattle exports, those higher prices that we were chatting about, and how you are seeing an increase in the turnoff rate. They're seeing that there has been a slight spike in debt, but that's the result of farmers taking this money and investing it back in their properties. And Peter Gooday from ABARES is actually expecting that farm income will continue to rise.
In 2015-16, we're expecting across the Northern Territory, farm cash income for beef cattle operations will average $1.2 million a farm, and that's compared to a 10-year average of a bit over $400,000. Most of the debt that's been taken on has been to reinvest into the farm rather than to meet overdraft payments and the like.
Now, some interesting political moves as well in the dairy world.
The lobby group, the Australian Dairy Farmers, is a bit tired of politicians talking a big game but not delivering so much. We heard last month the federal government announced that $555 million package to support the industry. Largely, that was going to be in concessional loans. The acting president of the dairy lobby is saying that the rollout is just too slow, and that while you're seeing state and federal politicians bicker about who rolls out and administers the program day to day, farmers are continuing to miss out.
We actually need to forget about who's paying for the administration and work out how to actually get those loans out to the farmers who actually need them. The 1st of July is the deadline for this. And likewise, there's also an agreement or a statement that's come out from Murray Goulburn to their suppliers that they need to know by next week if they want to actually take those loans off the table for the next 3 years. Farmers need to know now.
The Victorian Agriculture Minister, Jala Pulford, later in the week came out and said that they had reached terms with the federal government and would be rolling the program out. But there's been a lot of criticism, particularly from the dairy lobby, saying that these grants and these loans are really only for Fonterra and Murray Goulburn suppliers. They're the two companies that announced the retrospective price cuts that really triggered this crisis that the industry is going through at the moment. And there's also raised some concerns about New Zealand citizens who might have been farming in Australia for quite some years. They'll be ineligible, it seems, for these loans program as well. So they are keen to get further details on what the program will be.
No doubt. And it's such a complex picture because as much as you've got the milk price crisis itself, prior to that, you also had incredibly dry weather where people were paying very big prices for water. And that was a significant part of farm budgets being slashed somewhat. And we have had some rain, but it's not that quick a turnaround, is it? And interesting to see in Shepparton this week that extended conversation about legal action because of the milk price cuts.
We've seen a couple of class actions were announced in response to Murray Goulburn's decision to retrospectively cut prices. And those class actions were largely aimed at what the company supplied to the stock exchange and from their shareholders. So if we just remember that Murray Goulburn is partially listed on the Australian Stock Exchange, and the corporate regulator is investigating when it knew that it wasn't going to be able to achieve the incomes and the profits that it had been forecasting. When did it know that, and when did it notify the stock exchange? And that's largely what the other class actions have been looking into. This class action is where they're really targeting at the farmers. They want to act on behalf of farmers to work out how this happened and what could be taken for it not to happen again, that you see retrospective cuts. David Bursteiner is the lawyer that's leading the charge. And like you said, he met with Shepparton farmers earlier this week.
Any of the stuff the politicians are doing, they're dealing with the mental stress and the loans, the support packages, concessional loans. And there's a lot of chatter about clawbacks are wrong, but nobody is doing anything about A, the existence of the clawback, and B, something to stop it happening again and say it's illegal.
So that clawback is the term that they're using for that retrospectively saying, well, the price we were going to say is this, it's actually going to be this, and you now owe us hundreds of thousands of dollars, as it's proved to be in many cases.
Now, when I think about sort of stealthy middle of the night theft, I'm thinking, you know, ninja outfit, jewel thief style, not necessarily the bed sheet and the shaking of the tree.
I mean, it's a crime you can't really do subtly, is it? Stealing avocados. It's happening quite a lot in New Zealand at the moment. They're putting it down to seasonal shortages and price spikes. I think the price you're seeing is about $6 an avocado.
That is desperation for your fruit, isn't it?
Well, they worked it out. These thefts have been happening in 50 to 200 avocados at a time. So that works out to be about, you know, somewhere up to $600 on the current market value. So there's this black market of avocados evolving over there. The industry body is quite optimistic that things will turn around because they're expecting new stock will come onto the shelves. Jan Skula is with Avocados New Zealand.
It was a lovely Twitter conversation a week or so ago when I did say that we had our first maturity was cleared and that we were anticipating by July that avocados would be far more readily available in most retailers for our consumers who are hanging out for avocados to go into their weekly shop.
Bad news for the black market, I guess.
Yes, indeed. Australian shoppers weren't quite so extreme here earlier in the year. And another fantastic story. I love how China kind of just makes up holidays as it goes along, including one for singles.
So Singles Day, it's where you buy a gift for yourself if you don't have a partner. And it's something that the Australian wine industry is saying that it's now going to target and hopes to tap into this. They say lots of
money. Drown your sorrows.
I mean, the trouble with this pitch is that they're saying that, well, we're hoping for loveless singles will come and indulge in Australian wine. Jim Kirkpatrick is with Best Bottlers and he's the one making the pitch.
They decided we've got Valentine's Day and we've got anniversaries. What about singles? And there's lots of singles in China. So they developed this day, and on that particular day, last November the 11th, they spent $14.3 billion in 24 hours on themselves. If we could somehow harness that market and be a part of it, that would be good.
It's thin ice, Edwina. They blame Bridget Jones for a slump in the Chardonnay sales in Australian wine because it was too depressive. It was a single ladies' drink. Oh. Maybe he's hoping the wine industry doesn't follow that tactic.
Well,
again.
You know, you say Bridget Jones, and I do hear All By Myself start up in my head. So there's something there, Brett. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brett Worthington there with a wrap of the week's rural news. Of course, all the good ones, you can find them online at abc.net.au/rural.